By all accounts, Lynn was a bright, quiet young man. He grew up in Marin County, California, one of the most liberal and tolerant places in America. Yet he was drawn to the Taliban, a group that adhered to an intolerant interpretation of Islam. John Lynn journeyed halfway around the world to study Islam, first in Yemen, then in Pakistan. Eventually, he ended up fighting alongside the Taliban militia. NPR's Ann Garrels visited the religious school in western Pakistan, where he studied.
When John Walker Lynn arrived here 14 months ago, the tall, bearded American caused quite a stir. Husani Kalan, population 1,000, is a remote, very conservative Pashtun community near the Afghan border, where all the women are veiled.
Each and every person of this town was giving him utmost respect. Due to his love for Islam and his for which he has left his own country and his luxurious life.
32-year-old Mufti Muhammad Ultimas, a friendly man, runs the small religious school which the young American who'd taken the name Suleiman Faris attended for 5 months. He had already studied in Yemen, but during a visit to the States in the summer of 2001, Lynn met up with a Pakistani missionary who suggested he move here. He was shown a number of religious schools, but he chose this austere place, a one-story mud brick building with no hot water and little electricity. Each day, the 40 or so students are given a portion of the Quran to memorize. From 4:30 in the morning till 9 at night, they rock on their heels, repeating the lesson till they have it by heart. Most are poor, young, local boys for whom this is the only opportunity to get a free education. At 19, Lind was the oldest and the only foreigner. Mufti Ultimas says Walker was not interested in any kind of socializing. By the time he left, he had memorized a quarter of the Quran. According to the Mufti, he had no visitors, and the only time he left was once a week to visit the nearby town of Banu, where he could send emails to his family. Lynn suffered stomach problems, skin rashes, and bronchitis from the ubiquitous dust, but his teacher says there were no signs he was unbalanced.
He was a very, very intelligent man, and he took his every lesson by heart. You see, that never he talk of any such problems he has, and never I comprehend him that he has any mental problem.
They discussed Islam and listened to Taliban broadcasts of Radio Sharia. The Mufti calls the Taliban the closest example of a true Islamic government, but he denies urging Lynn to go to Afghanistan, and he says his school has no ties with extremist organizations which recruited volunteers to fight there. When Lynn suddenly left last April, he said he was going somewhere in the mountains to escape the vicious summer heat.
And I was sure that he will be back here.
Lynn's religious books and suitcase are still here. The contents give no hint of his plans. His meticulous notebooks are filled with nothing but Arabic vocabulary lists and translations from the Quran. Pharmacist Karin Khan, who regularly treated him, said Lind never consulted anyone about fighting in Afghanistan.
He said that I would have told him that you are not properly trained, you are not properly built for jihad. So he was not a man for jihad, he was a man to study.
Lind vanished. His mother wrote to the Mufti several times for information, saying it wasn't like her son to go so long without making contact. Again and again, she urged him to call collect, but the Mufti never saw Lind again. He says he was mystified when last December he saw the photograph of his former student in a prison fortress in Afghanistan. Maybe somebody motivated him is all he can surmise. Exactly who is not clear. The villagers are horrified at the way the U.S. government has treated him. Several said they wept when they saw the pictures of Lind on his knees being interrogated. While Lind may be considered a criminal in the United States, he's a beloved hero here. Ann Garrels, NPR News, Husani Kalan, Western Pakistan.